bless your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. Glory, the highest glory, and the honor. We lift our hands to worship as we bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. All the honor and the honor. We lift our hands to worship as we press your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so. To be in the house tonight. Amen. God bless you, Brother Seth.
I just thought, Sue, you know, I felt nervous today for some reason with all this worldly stuff going on, and I thought, I got to get back to the house, you know.
Amen.
This is where I get my peace and my rest and my joy.
Yes.
And my answers.
Amen.
I'm just so thankful to be able to walk in these doors, you know, and to receive this word and to know what age we're living in. Who else knows what's going on, you know, where we're going, where
Who
we're headed,
knows?
What's going to happen.
Oh,
and I'm just so blessed. I just want to give God the praise. I
yes.
thought, Sue, if you're going to receive all this when you go to church, you've got to give something back, you know. You've got to give him praise and honor and glory. And I do just thank him with all my heart. And I just Amen. Thank the Lord for being able to have this place to come to and to get this rest and this peace and this joy.
Amen.
And to have my brothers and my sisters here with me.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I am glad to hold the arms of the body up.
Yes.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad to be here. I am just so,
Amen.
So thoroughly thankful.
Amen.
You know, talk about miracles.
Yeah.
I heard sirens this morning.
Mm.
And it missed me. My house is still standing.
Yeah.
My kids are still safe. This church is still standing. Oh, Lord, we have a lot to be thankful for this morning. I am so blessed to be here.
Amen.
You know, I come in here and I say the same thing, but, you know, it gets brighter and brighter.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm thankful
oh,
for is sound mind. I was watching this video and, you know, the mental health and the world condition out there. And I love the fact that I can just sit there and like, you know what?
Yes.
I'm going to be okay.
Amen.
I'm
going to
be okay.
Right. Yeah.
That
Amen.
You can come in here with your head held high. That you're not tossed to and fro. That you're not torn. You're not confused. That you have all the answers.
Oh my goodness.
That you have an eternal rest.
Man, what else?
Oh my God.
What more,
what more can you be thankful for? Amen. That you have a revelation. Amen. That you know who
my
you are.
Goodness.
You know where you're going.
Yeah.
You know where you've come from.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking today because Brother Jay, I was using the crock pot today. You know, and I think about that. You know, if you lift that lid up before it's time,
yeah,
you'll run it. You'll run the whole entire reason why you use the crock pot.
Yeah.
It's got to have all the steam. It's got to. There's a time for it.
Right.
But you know what? Just like that body had to cook for so long.
Yes.
It had a time for it. Just like God's timing. There has to be a perfection of that timing.
Right.
And I thank God that it was at a perfect time when that crock pot was opened up. Per se, you know, that crock pot was opened up. The secrets, because you don't add the seasonings really till the end,
right?
Because there's a lot of stuff that goes through changes.
Yes.
You can oversalt it, you can under season it, you can run it. You know, chicken dries out quick.
Oh, yeah.
You got to make sure that you don't touch it.
Yeah.
And I love that because I was watching that. I can't even make food without having God just deal with me because I'm sitting here like, you know what? Because if you open it up, you'll run it. There had to be a perfection of that body.
Oh, yeah.
If you open up too soon, you're going to have dry chicken. You're going to run the meal.
Yeah.
You're going to try to manifest something.
Yeah.
And it's going to be nothing but dead works.
Right.
But once it's done, you can leave
it
on warm. And it gets better and better and better. You add the salt. I didn't want to come into service today. I'm gonna help you out. I want to add a little bit of salt.
Yes.
I want to make sure that the front part of service is just as good as the second part of service.
Sure. Amen.
This should be the easiest time when you get up here and you can praise God. We're amongst believers.
Right.
This is the time where you get to lay your armor down. You don't have to worry about the worries of the world.
Oh, yes,
you can
Lord.
Go there and like, you know what, God? I'm going to go fellowship tonight. I'm going to fellowship. I'm gonna shake God's hand when I walk in the door.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love Brother Isaiah always sits here. He's like, you know what? I already know. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to be the first one to get up.
Right.
Thank you, Sister Jennifer, for being a willing vessel.
Yeah.
Thank you. I get nervous. I don't want to get in the routine. At the same time, I want to make the song leader nervous.
Oh, yeah.
I have a job to do. I have to get in here. I have to edify the body.
Yes.
That's my only goal is edify the body.
That's
I'm edifying those that are here and those that I can't see.
Right.
They're hearing me. They're like, amen.
Amen.
Say it.
Amen.
Say it, Brother Seth.
Amen.
Paul's hearing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who are we talking to?
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here to come in here just for another Wednesday night.
Oh.
I came in here with an expectation.
Yes.
An expectation I'll hear from God. I heard from God without even words. Came up here and turned a microphone on. I was like, all right. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let's get it started.
Yeah, let's get started.
I don't want to sit there behind a pew and let it be so stagnant.
No.
God saved me from a tornado.
Right.
A tornado.
Come on now.
It touched down in Indiana and everywhere else.
Oh yeah.
But it missed me.
Missed
it. Missed me.
Yeah.
It missed this church.
Amen.
Yeah.
We're all here safely. We might be a little bit tired.
Yeah.
We might be a little bit physically tired, but you know what? I want to shake that devil off.
Yeah.
I don't want to get here and get starchy because I was up at 4 o'clock in
Come
the
on.
Morning. Uh-uh. No. I don't care if I was up at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
God still gave me the breath of life.
Yeah.
God still gave me a sound mind.
Oh, my
God. God still gave me warmth. He's still good. Even when I'm sitting here struggling to live up to it, it's still the truth.
I love that.
I love the fact that you can say
yes,
that in this day
Lord.
And age. You know what? Even if I can't do it, it's nothing but the truth.
Yes.
And I will stand by that.
Oh, yeah.
Even if I can't do it.
Right.
But you know what? God makes a way.
He makes a way.
You start changing. You start doing stuff you didn't even know. You know, that I was,
and
I didn't know I could do it.
I didn't even
But
know.
there was a cleansing from the inside out.
Amen.
But I love this message. I love the fact I can come in here one more time.
Yes.
Amen.
And just add a little bit of salt to that already finished meal. I'm excited for that crock pot because, you know, I like that analogy. I'm letting it cook. You gotta let it simmer.
Amen.
You gotta simmer on it because then you start dwelling on it. You can't help but dwell on it. You got to have that fellowship. That's why I'm excited
That's
for
right.
these reptile shows and these Super Bowls. It's just another excuse. Let's dig a hole.
Yeah.
Let's shovel the church. It's another reason
for
to get
God.
With the body. Because I'm not looking for this worldly good.
Right.
It's before I even know, I didn't know it was growing strangely dim.
Right.
Except for everyone else is like, where have you been? I'm like, oh, I don't know. You guys won't even miss me when I'm gone. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'll be changed.
Amen.
But you know what? I come in here and I'm just so thankful for so many. I don't want to just let the smallest thing. The fact that, you know, most people looked at it as an inconvenience. When I was dropping the kids off for school, nobody was there. I guess they decided to go back to sleep and just sleep through school. But I was like, you know what? Thank you that I got to spend some extra time with my kids.
Amen.
Thank you for the fact that my kids were safe. Amen. The fact that we had a basement to go to. You know, just the small things. So I know it sounds like children's bread, but God, it is so good to just be able to say, you know what?
Yes.
I am glad to say I'm one of them.
Amen. Come on up, sisters.
God put it on my heart to say something, and I'm too blessed to not give back to him. So I'm going to sing.
Oh, my. Right. Wow. Amen. Amen, sis.
Crazy, buddy.
As you're lifting up.
God bless you, sisters. Oh my, that blessed me. Just hold on, you know? And the beautiful thing about what we get in here, you know, even when you let go, he's still holding on. We have a promise, you know, and just a small little testimony here. And, you know, everything that happened last night, you know, tornadoes and stuff like that, things hitting my business, things hitting me, things hitting my family. It almost made me, my testimony was wrong earlier today. I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to go and receive. I just want to go in there and listen. Can't do that. As soon as I came in here, I knew what it was. You can't just come in here and sit down.
That's right.
It's just not possible for me. Not possible. And I look at it and I just laugh because, you know, these girls, they come up and they sing this song and it's exactly what I needed, you know, because I wanted to let go. I wanted to quit. I was like, I'm done. It's just too much. It's a lot of weight. He said, drop the weights. You don't even need to hold on to them. You know, sniff that little thing. Wake up. Shake sure. yourself, you know?
Amen.
And that's what we get every time we come in here. We get an opportunity to shake ourselves,
Amen.
To drive our stake our claim, and then just continue to move forward, you know? Just hold on. It's going to be okay. My goodness. Go ahead, Brother Kevin.
I just want to thank the Lord for all he's done for me. He's blessed me in my life.
Amen.
You know,
oh my goodness.
Okay. I just wanted to get up because God's been so good. And you know, that song, it's a beautiful song because, you know, you don't have to hold on to these burdens and you don't have to hold on to all the trials that you go through, but you hold on to the word and it gets you through.
Thank you, Lord.
And, you know, just lately, God has been doing so much for me. He's been, you know, bringing out some character. We're going through some trials and I don't even want to give Satan the credit of saying, you know, Satan's been battling us. No, God's been putting us through trials to bring out character. You know what he's shown me is that you lean on the word, you lean on God, and he moves.
Amen.
He moves so quick. It's insane, and it's beautiful.
Yes.
And one of the things that I want to just say, too, is I'm so glad to have a spouse that believes the word.
Yes.
Because when you have something going on, you know, he says where two or three are gathered, and if I've got me and I've got my husband, we're good. And I'm just so thankful, and I never want to sit down on God. I want to be serious, I want to be dedicated, and I want everyone to know that I'm serious and dedicated.
Amen.
I want to thank God for being here this afternoon or this evening. You know, just listen to Seth about the tornado. I mean, that's a powerful thing because today I woke up to work, you know, because I DoorDash, and you know, that power outage. So I went to my first stop, power's out. So I'm like, okay. So I gave a little time and went down the street and, you know, where I live at, and then all the power's out. So like, okay. I went home. I said, look, I'm going to enjoy my day. I'm not going to be mad about it because, God, you know what you're doing. So, you know, I went to bed and I told Sweat, hey, I guess I ain't working today. You know, these things in the world, I don't bother me one bit. It don't. Because God's got it taken care of. He does.
Amen.
So today I said, you know what? You know, our SUV had a little issue going on. So I went to the mechanic and just show you how God works. I met two people there that, some strangers. They didn't know me from Adam. Talked to them. And one of the gentlemen that I met had the same upbringing that I did. A year younger than me. Father was never in his life. Nothing like that. And he just poured his heart out to me. I mean, and I told him, I said, you know what? And God's blessed him even too because he was a father that was, you know, had two boys, and he was trying to raise his sons to be men. And, you know, it's hard to find a man these days to even raise their kids. And I said, you know, I told him, I said, you know, you're doing a good job even not having the word, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And his mom had 12 kids.
Man.
12. And I'm like, my goodness. And I said, for you to turn out to be like that, you know, God's with you too. You know what I mean? He really is. And God has your steps ordained because—
That's right.
You know, even when you don't think he does. I mean, I'm at a point now when something goes on, you're like, it's God. Because sometimes you can think like, man, what's going on? Why is this going on? Then you figure out why you have to do what you have to do. Because had I worked today, I would have never met that gentleman at all. We even exchanged numbers, too. So at a point, too, he says mom's a Christian and she loves God. I'm like, you know what? If God leaves on my heart, I'm inviting the church. Because I mean, like, hey, you know, why not? You know what I mean? We're going to be salt to this world. I'm going to give the same revelation and give something to him, too. Because it's only by God the reason why I'm here. I mean, I didn't do nothing good to get this at all. I didn't. God just saw fit for me to be part of this body, and I thank God for every day. I thank God for every day. I mean, I even to the our pastor Moore and in the ministry, we're blessed. We are. I mean, we go everywhere else and we have the ministry, and that's not that I don't appreciate them, but I love home. I do. I really genuinely love home because we get some good teaching here. We do, and if you apply it, you will be blessed every single time. So I just want to thank God for that. I didn't want to miss a moment, and I just thank God for you guys. I love you guys. I can't say it enough. I really do genuinely mean that. It's not just a bunch of words. I really do. You guys are a blessing to me. You really are. So I just want to say that.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. Time. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
God bless you, sis.
Miss my chance. So, you know, the Lord is just dealing with me back there. And I'm so thankful to be here tonight because normally this is a night that I'm working. And God made it possible for me to be here. And I'll take that chance any opportunity that I get. But I'm so grateful and so thankful for everything that He's done for me. He's touched me in many ways. There's a lot of need within the family. I think we're all going through something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, God's going to take care of that.
That's right.
I believe it.
He's
you
got
know,
it.
We stand on that. And but I'm just thankful to be here. And I didn't want to stand back there and sit on God.
That's
so
right.
I wanted to get up and thank Him for this opportunity.
Yes.
Because, you know, I could be at work. But I had the opportunity to be here.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I'm sitting here thinking about... you know, natural birth, how that it's a glorious time. You take that first breath of life. And I was thinking about the spiritual birth. You know, look at these young people, you know, how they step out on the Word of God, you know, and take that first breath of life. They put God to the test, you know, what they're doing. You know, is this real? Let me step out on it, see if it's real. See if he's a man of His word or not, you know. God wants you to test Him.
Yes.
Yeah. Test me. See if I'm telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so it's, but it's not yours. You know, like Brother Schuttle's always said, it's not yours, so you claim it. You know, you can sit there and look at everybody else and think, oh, that's just, you know, that's good, good for them or whatever, you know, and fine being different, whatever you want to do. But it'll never benefit you till you step out on it.
That's exactly.
And that's what these young people are finding out.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you step out on it, it's easier to step out on it next time.
Confidence.
You know. I mean, it works both ways. Sin works that way, too.
Oh, yeah.
You let the bars down, it's easy to let down less time. Right. Yeah, for long, you're letting it down all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, God works the same way.
My.
You step out by faith, and he proves his word.
Yes.
And he answers, and he's there. You know, and you step out more and more and more.
Oh, yeah.
And it just gets greater and greater. Sure. He said if you be faithful in a few things, he rewards greater things. You know, and the Word of God lays all this out, and that's why it's so important to know the Word, you know, to read. And I don't read a lot, but I've been preached to a lot.
Amen.
You know, I've read my fair share, but not recently. It's just the Lord brings up these scriptures from 30 years ago, you know. But they're so real.
Yes.
Amen.
They're so real to me.
So real.
You know, and especially when he brings it up. You know, I could read scriptures, and I think, what did I read? You know, and it don't mean nothing. But when he brings it up, when he ties something together, oh, it's there now.
Yes.
I've got an understanding on it now.
Amen.
Makes it live, makes it real.
Amen.
And when you step on his word and you step out on it, you know, by faith, and it's always by faith, you don't know where you're stepping. You know, you're by faith, hoping that he'll be there, hoping he'll catch you. And but he always does.
Yes, he does.
He always does. If you
Amen.
If you got real faith, if you truly believe him, he'd be right there. You know, I had this was a couple of weeks ago, but I had a cow that was taken sick, you know. Hot weather, cold weather, you know, it affects the cow, same as it does us. And started putting his head down, wouldn't eat. I was like, oh, boy, and the cow gets going down, it's hard to stop him from going down. You know, for long, and he wouldn't get up, laying down. And on an animal, that's really saying something.
Yeah.
Now, probably if he could have talked, he would say he'd been feeling bad a week before that.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. They don't talk. But I think, Lord, now that's a lot of money sitting there.
Yeah.
And Lord, you know, it's just a cow, but I heard Sister Lee say something about her dog the other day. And I thought, well, dog, cow, whatever. Lord, I got a need. You know, and you step out, but just by faith.
That's right.
And, you know, simple faith.
Simple.
And, you know, the trick to this thing is refuse to accept anything other than what the Word of God says.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
yes.
You know, we used to say, you know, just flat turn Satan down. Don't give Satan time of day. You know, don't ever let him get you off the Word, because that's the only trick he's got. And so I'm thankful to know the secret.
Yeah.
There is a secret to this thing. And, you know, you got to know your enemy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you're in a fight, if you know how your enemy fights, you got him whipped.
Yeah, already.
As long as he keeps you guessing, you know what he's going to come at you with.
Oh, yeah.
And with Satan, you know what he's going to come at you with.
Yeah.
He'll try to get you down. You know, and the trick is recognize it soon.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody's going to throw a punch, they kind of drop their shoulder.
Right.
Pick it up, you know.
Yeah.
Get your guard up.
That's right.
And
pay attention.
Satan always got his little telltale signs, you know.
Yeah.
Start not feeling right. So, oh, that's Satan.
Yeah.
That's Satan. No, right off. That's Satan. Ain't going to fall for this again.
Right.
And, you know, and you know, sometimes he gets a lick in here and there, but ain't no big deal. He's still just a devil, and I'm still a son of God.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line to the whole thing. But I love the way that this works.
Yes.
You know, he said, whosoever will.
Yeah.
And we step out by faith on his word, and he'll prove it every time. You know, we sit there and we're almost worried about testifying too high, because the devil make you prove it. Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
And I will prove it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the devil making you prove it anyway. You know, it's God letting the devil put you to the test.
Absolutely.
You know, to prove who you are.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
You know, Brother Branham said that, that ill-famed woman on the street, it just proved who the Son of God is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he's not going to fall for it. He'll turn his head. He won't.
Right.
Oh, no, he's not enticed by that at all.
Right.
Or any trick the devil has.
Amen.
Doesn't entice the Son of God. Doesn't entice a believer. Because we stay with the Word. But it just tickles me to see. Because I remember the first time I really stepped out by faith.
Right.
You know, and surrendered.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, that's all you can do. You surrender by a little bit, he gives you a little more faith. You know,
that's right.
You step out a little more faith, and he proves it.
Yes.
You know? It's just the way it works. It's worked all my life that
Amen.
Way. And there's always something else to step out by faith on. You know, you think, well, you've been up the road so long, you just, oh, no. Everything, it takes faith to step.
Oh, yeah.
And, and the devil's right there, and he's slick. And, I don't fall for it.
That's right.
I refuse to fall for it. Right. If it says I'm an overcomer, then I'm an overcomer every minute of my life.
Amen.
You know, I refuse to think anything different.
That's right.
If I'm righteous, I'm righteous every minute of my life. The devil can't do a thing about it.
Amen.
You know, and anything the Word of God says, I refuse to back down on.
That's right.
There you go.
I don't care what it looks like.
Amen.
I don't care what any man says, even me.
Yes.
The Word's right. Let every man be a liar. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, sis.
I was just sitting there thinking, now that I'm back in the Sunday school, I only get one service I really get to testify. And
that's right.
It's harder to get up here. And
no,
I was just sitting there and I was thinking, while you were talking, when Luke really knows his spelling words, he's like, test me, Mom, test me. Like, he's excited for me to test
him.
And that's how I felt. God, I'm like, how we were talking in Sunday school about, here I am, Lord, use me. Like, send me. I want to be an open and willing vessel that God can send me. That's my ultimate desire.
Yes.
I have so many desires, but that's my ultimate one. I really just want God to be able to use me, and I'm just thankful. I want to fully surrender. And I've been sitting there, with this place, everyone has such a sincere heart. We love God, and that's just where I'm coming from. I just want to sincerely thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I want to give to you, Lord. Just like I want to give to being a good wife to Dwayne. I want to give to being a good wife to God. I want to just fully submit myself to him in every single way.
Amen.
And anything I can do is just small potatoes. That's how sometimes I feel with Dwayne. When you do everything, there's just such little you can give.
Yeah.
And my little bit, I want to give it fully and easily. And just, I'm thankful for this place. I'm thankful for this body. There's just such a love here. And I'm thankful for my kid. I see her getting up and trying to testify, and my nieces. And I was just sitting there, just my brother, just sitting there, just pouring tears. Like, my heart was full. It's just, God's been good to me. And I'm just thankful for this place.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes.
God bless you, Sister Daisy.
Give me mic, sweetie.
The devil told me not to get up here, but I know that's a lie because God's been too good to me, and I'm glad to be here.
Amen.
That's it. Sister Beth, you'll be the last one.
Excuse the clothes and just get off work, but I've worked 21 hours in 2 days and only have had 4 hours of sleep, but I am not missing this place.
No.
I am not going to do it. And then also, I did get a car. I got a car.
Yes.
And I just want to thank God for everything that he has been doing for me. So, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies. God bless the testimonies. Let me get these announcements out of the way here. We got youth practice tomorrow night. And don't forget about Kentucky trip, March 30th to the 31st. And then we have a men's fellowship on the 27th of April. And then women's fellowship on the 1st of June. So mark that in your calendars. God bless this place. You know, I was listening to Brother Seth's testimony. He was talking about that crock pot, and Brother Jay was talking about that crock pot the other day. So that food must be ready because I smell it. So let's sing song 209, No Weapon.
Amen.
And then we'll get him up. God bless this place.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work, said no weapon formed against me shall prosper. God will do.
what he said he would do. He will stand by his word, and he will come through. Oh, my God will do what he said he would do. Stand by his word, he will come through. I know weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. I know God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word. He will come through. I know God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word, and he will come through. No against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. I know God will do what he said he do. He will stand by his word. He will come through, and God will do what he said he would do. He will stand by his word, and he will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
I want to sing one more song, and the name of the song is, let's see, I appreciate the sister singing so, so much. Ties right into my message, but I'm excited about that. Get this pen here. I feel like Brother Kevin when he said, I'm just going to take my time. I get nervous, and I talk fast when I get nervous, so I'm trying to slow down. But I'm glad my wife made it. That's the hat's in the right place now, guys. I can preach now. She's coming from Cincinnati, so that's what I was waiting on. So y'all get to testify for another 30 minutes. I was just like, well, I'm waiting. She's going to be here. But let's sing Only a Mountain. And I'll sing it. I mean, it's called This is Only a Mountain. And how the chorus goes, we know what it says. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Just tell it to move and it'll move. Tell it to fall and it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Tell it to fall, it'll fall. I was singing that all day today. And I praise God for this. I'll start singing it. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. Another day, another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. Another step, another mile. It's the story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought. It costs everything, everything you got. When your back's against the wall and you feel like giving up,
this is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll... Let's sing that again. Yes, this is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall. One more time, hallelujah. Yes, this is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together amongst believers in this world where it's total darkness, we're surrounded by total light. Let us come together for a few moments tonight and just praise your name and thank you for all that you've already given us, Lord. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the songs. Lord, our hearts go out to the rest of the world that as they're trying to struggle in and listen in. Thank God for we got these four walls here up for us to just rejoice and praise you in peace. Lord, bless the body around the world. We know our brother's traveling and doing those kind of things. Pray for Brother Praveen as he's traveling home. Lord, bless those that are, you know, in Florida, Kentucky. Bless those that are maybe affected by the tornado, Lord. But bless us tonight that we can get the hearing or speaker out of the way, Lord, to receive your word. That's the most important thing of the hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to be here tonight. Praise God for everything we get. I thoroughly enjoyed the song by Daisy, Adeline, and Ryan Riley. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. So much so, I'm going to figure out a way to, if I can, sneak that in somewhere. Easter or New Year's or somewhere. But when a song does something for me, I know it's going to bless somebody else because... That's how it works. I know what I had to go through to get to church, and then if it touched me, I'm like, I know what you had to go through to get to church, so I know it's going to touch you. You know, we've got many examples of that. Lord, I never want to. I don't want to leave this place the same way that I came. That's a song that touched us, and we keep singing it. You know, so we got a lot of songs that work like that. So I appreciate the sisters getting out of the way to sing it. I'm going to get started here in a little bit, but those are my little, I kind of look at them like daughters. They're my nieces. They're, you know, I'd protect them like they're my daughter, but I love them and see them, you know, this world's terrible. That's what breaks me up. Cause like the world just sucks. I don't have any better way to say it. Like it just is. Like from a political system to an educational system to the financial system to all that stuff. And, you know, I've said it before, you know, guys have it a little bit easier than the girls. I'm a guy. I know it's a little easier on you than it is girls. Like, you know, you say about hair. I don't have a, it's whatever for hair, for a guy. They can do whatever. But girls, it's the real thing. You know, how you dress, you stand out. Like, because guys, we can just say, I don't care. But girls, they got to, you have to care kind of thing. You get ostracized. You get picked on. And to come in here. Come on.
over top of it all. They didn't just make the song up. I mean, there's things to it. There's levels to this. Like, they didn't just come here and be like, well, maybe we'll sing something and find something in the book. Skylar, figure it out. Sing it with me. They had to practice it. Put some effort into it. I mean, that's what I'm saying is they had to do that before they got here. Like, they had to be ready for church before they got here. And to do, there's a cost. It's not like they were just sitting around doing nothing. They got school. They got this. They got friends. They got pressures of the world. You know, as much as, you know, you're older, you could be like Kevin. You can just say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to work today. And you don't have any effects. Like, that's, you can sit at home if you want to. As an adult, you don't have those kind of things. But as a kid, you got pressures that you're going to be pushed into. You know, my kids say they don't want to go to school because they don't like it. That's too tough. You got to go. But as an adult, I can say, I don't want to go to work today. And I can stay home. I'm an adult. I can pick and choose some pressures, so to speak. But to see them come in, I'm just happy for them, you know? Amen. I'm happy for me. That's who I get to serve God with. Because you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if I see my little sister strong, oh, I know I can make it. I know I can make it. You know, in the Army, you get your different things. And you got somebody protecting your six. And you kind of want the best person behind you. Because that's your six. You can't look back. You want somebody got your back that's almost stronger than you. Because they might have to carry you a little bit. And so you see that you got some people back there that's carrying you like that. That just gives you more strength to keep pushing forward, you know? So I've been ready to preach. You know, seeing that, I was like, I know Jeremiah was ready to preach. I know Pastor Moore was ready to preach. You see that kind of example out of the body, it's like, what more could I do? If all I got to do is preach and they did that, I'm ready. Just throw a scripture out there, I'll take it. Throw a verse out there, I'll go. Throw a quote out there, I'll take it. But it's just to see that, it was just beautiful. So praise God for them. I'll get started here. And it ties in. That's what's got me so choked up, because it ties in. And so I was sitting there, I was like, because I was so nervous about the title and about the things and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, I already promised people I was cooking tonight. You know, it's kind of like if you tell somebody you're going to buy lunch, they don't bring lunch to work that day. You're like, I got your lunch tomorrow. And they're like, well, you said you got my lunch, so you got to kind of produce, you know. So, but I was just nervous about it, because Jeremiah mentioned this on Sunday. He said, you know, he was talking about pressure. To being pressurized, and he talked about Joshua. And I was like, Lord, that's just been on my mind, being pressurized and Joshua. And I'm like, I don't know how those go together, but I know you're saying that, so I'm just going to set it there and let it cook. Like, I didn't have anything to add to it, nothing like that. And then I get in here, and God was dealing with me before service, and then I get in here, and I see that youth, and I'm like, there it is. There it is. There's that vindication I was looking for, because, you know, we can go into it, but, you know, I'm going to talk about Joshua tonight, and it's a beautiful story about Joshua. I won't be able to cover it all. There's a book of Joshua. You could go in there, but I'll probably maybe get to chapter 10 of it, but it's a beautiful story about Joshua. We know about Joshua, and we talk about Joshua, but the more I looked at it today, I thought, man, Joshua is such a perfect type of us. And as I go into this, we'll talk about it some more here, but I just thought, my gosh, we're just a blessed people. So to give you some context, who Joshua is, for anybody that doesn't know. So Joshua came on the scene after Moses. So so Moses had been assigned to lead the people out of Egypt. We know that part of the story, right? Yeah. So Moses did that. But Joshua was born into slavery. So Joshua saw all the stuff Moses did. He was around for all of it. He saw the miracles. He was around for the release. Like, he was there when the children of Israel got released out of Egypt. Joshua was a kid at the time. He was a youth. He had been serving God since his youth. He had saw all the miracles, saw all the promises, and had saw how God had dealt with Moses. And I thought, okay, where's that coming in here? But Moses wasn't able to take him over into the promised land. He was instructed to send them, but he wasn't able to take them over into it. Joshua had to do that without Moses on the scene. Now you can see how these parallels start to come in. So Brother Branham was on the scene, kind of like our Moses, so to speak. He was instructed to take us out of here, but he couldn't go. He didn't live long enough. Moses didn't live long enough to get him over to where he had to go, to cross over. There was a point where the children of Israel got to what's called Kadesh Barnea. Yeah, that's right. And what happened to Kadesh Barnea, and this sets the catalyst for the story. Moses
told some people to go spy on the land. Right. He sent 12 spies. One of those spies was our buddy Joshua. So 10 of the spies go over there, and they come back with a bad report to Moses and say, there's no way we can take the land. Those people are giants. They'll kill us like gnats. We can't do the land. But Joshua and Caleb, they go over there and they say, oh man, you won't believe it. The grapes are as big as watermelons. It's the milk, it's the land that God had promised us. It's exactly what you said it would be, Moses. It's the land flowing of milk and honey. And that's strange. You got 12 people that go over there that go and see the same thing. They heard the same promises. They saw the same miracles. And two people saw it different than the rest of the people. That was the breakup of that church, so to speak. When they got that bad report, a bunch of the people said, I'm not going. If those 10 spies see that, there's no way I'm going. Joshua and Caleb, it strengthened their resolve. They were like, I can't wait to get over there. And this was in their youth. They're like, if we got to walk around this desert for a little bit, it's going to be worth it to get to that land. That's us. There's a group of people that saw the same miracles Brother Branham did. There's a group of people that heard the same promises that Brother Branham gave. There's the same people that seen the same Bible, the same message books, but they heard it and go, I can't live that good. I can't do this. I can't do that. We hear it and say, it's worth it at any cost to get over there, because even in Joshua, he was the first fruit. He was the first partaker of it. We're the first partaker of this fruit. We're coming back to show people. We're coming back to say, this is how great it is over there. Oh, my. See, when Moses was off the scene, people were shook. Because God was with Moses. They saw God was with Moses. But God, let's read over here. Let's read a scripture. I want to make sure I throw one in here. It's the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 5 through 9. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This is the only commandment God really gave Moses. Joshua. He said, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide unto an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God's basically saying, I'm going to give them what I promised them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to it from the right hand or to the left. Stay on that straight and narrow, Joshua, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. Come on. Now, when we say things like wherever you step your foot, wherever you're at, that's the promise that God gave Joshua. Amen. That's that same promise as from the beginning. Amen. And that's the same thing we say. As he was with Moses, he's with me. Right. We can say, like Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. Right. If God was with Paul, he's with me. If the same God of Branham is the same God of today. Amen. As he was with Branham, he's with us. Amen. Oh, my. But see, the thing about it is the similarities start to expound. They get exponentially greater. Like Jesus even said, greater works will you do. And I thought, my goodness, and we're going to get into it, but this place is crazy. Like, you don't understand all the stuff we get in here. Like, even Brother Jeremiah was talking about being pressurized. Like, to do that, so like even astronauts, to be able to counter that G-force that you got to get when you're breaking gravity, when you're going through that acceleration to get out of here, there's certain forces that come on your body, and you can't just do it in one day. You got to build up for it. So when you first do it, they do what's called like a centrifuge training or whatever. Maybe I'm messing up the name. But it's kind of like an amusement ride where they spin around really fast, and it gets you ready for the G-forces. Now at the amusement park, it's low. Like it's not enough to hurt you. It's just enough so you can see that there's some forces better than what you think. Like you're stronger than what. It's like you're on that ride and you can't lift your hand up, all that kind of stuff. Right? That's how it feels like for a new person when they come in here and they're just looking around. It's like head spinning. Yeah. Because we're talking about witnesses, 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 things that are to be. This is that. This is that. Just spinning. It's just learning the G-forces, really, so to speak. I'm getting you ready to fly, but I got to get you used to it so far. I got to get you used to these forces because we're about to break gravity here in a little bit. We got to go to it. So don't think I'm getting away from the rapture. That's the only thing I'm preaching about until we get out of here. I got to get you ready to break out of these natural bodies. I'm getting your body used to breaking these forces so that you can know how to deal with it. I got to teach you how to breathe when this is going on. I got to teach you how to understand what's happening. I don't want you to black out that this is getting too deep. I don't want you to black out that I'm going too fast. I'm telling you that I'm getting you ready to get out of here. Amen. See, I got the same God that Moses had. That same power is right here. See the difference? See, this is what I love about it. See, when Joshua sent his spies, we know the story. It's over there in like maybe chapter 2. When Joshua sent his spies to Rahab, those two spies, they already knew what it was when they dealt with Joshua and Caleb. They didn't go over there afraid. They didn't go over there thinking they couldn't do it. They went over there and they got in there and they got in the midst of stuff. And they said, Rahab, we'll give you everything you want. I don't have to go back and check with Joshua. He's already taught me that God is with me and Joshua sent me. The same God of Joshua is the God of Moses. That's who sent me here to do this. See, those spies had a different message. Those spies had been taught a little bit different. They progressed. Oh, my. See, even when you think about it, think about this. That's why this story was just, I'm going to dive into some more details here, but just to give you some of these highlights, Moses, when he was fighting, he had somebody hold his arms up to go on and win the battle. Right. What did Joshua do? Come on now. Just know your Bible a little bit. When Joshua was fighting, he didn't hold his arms up. Nobody held his arms up. He said, Sun, you stay there. Moon, you stay there. We got some fighting to do. That's a little bit different. That's just a little bit different. That's taking the full authority and saying, God, I know that you hear me every single time I speak and whatever I call for. You are obligated to take care of me. That's some progression. That's some progression. Cause see, and the thing about it is, Joshua didn't have more authority than Moses. That's not what I'm getting at. Joshua didn't know more about God than Moses. He just knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that same God was in Moses, is in him. So because he had saw it his whole life, he had no doubt in him that whatever he called for, he knew his position. Even the quote that Brother Branham says, now you can see how this all ties together. When Brother Branham said they could call for 10 million tons of flies and it would have to show up. And you go, well, Brother Jay, now even if you go to study it on Google or whatever you want to look it up to, they go back because when you talk about eclipse, because we got one coming up, you talk about eclipse, they time it. They go, okay, this one had to happen at this time for this to happen. And they go back and they go, the longest day in history had to be when Joshua made the sun and the moon stand still. He literally stopped the universe. He had to stop the universe because the earth spins. And then we rotate around the sun. So to stop it, he stopped everything. He didn't just keep the lights on. He made sure darkness never showed up. Right? That's what I'm looking at. I'm like, do you understand what has been loosed in this day? The authority that you have now. It's not that I have more, so to speak. It's greater works because it's more of us that believe. When it was Moses, it was just Moses. When it was Jesus, it was just Jesus. But now that it's the many-membered bride of Jesus Christ, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's me. That's more light. That's why it's greater works. Oh, my. You see why I was looking at this and saying, I see why Brother Jeremiah was talking about Joshua. His faith astounded him. Let's look at some of these points. Because when Joshua was doing it, Hey, a couple of things. The story of Joshua lets you know how God carries through on his promises regardless of who the messenger is. That's a great, it illustrates that point. The other thing it does, it shows you the token. Because we go over and read about the story of Rahab. Shows how that token is being applied. Also, it shows you God honoring the promises of his the promises of the believers. Because he's dealing with foolish version. He shows you that even in the story of Rahab dealing with Joshua. He's showing you both things. Showing you the token being applied. Showing you how God deals with foolish versions. Because sometimes people say, God shows you how he deals with unbelievers. But you can't carry that all the way through. You can't ride that horse all the way out by saying that God takes care of unbelievers. Because he doesn't. A foolish version is somebody that has not been converted until they get over there. But they're a believer. They have a part of eternity in them. It just doesn't get manifested until the other side. But they're a believer. So that's a foolish version that you're dealing with. And Brother Steve, you quoted it. He said over in Matthew 25, when you did this unto the least of these, you done it unto me. Oh, that story's in there. Then it goes over into another story talking about relieving that pressure. Being pressurized. Because Joshua, I'm going to get some quotes in here and some scriptures in there to back this up. But I'm just excited about it because I want you to know what I was looking at to let you guys know. I thought, even Joshua, you know what Joshua did? I'm going to put some quotes in there and some scriptures then we can back it up. But Joshua created refuge. Come on now. Think about this. Guys, I'm excited about it, but I'm trying to slow down so I can say the words. Because I've been thinking about it all week. Moses brought the law. Okay? You had to live by the law. And if you did something, you died by that law. It was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You stole, they chop off your hand. But what did Joshua do? He created refuge. That if you were guilty of the law, guilty, not saying you're not guilty, and you were going to repent, honestly repent, you could come into the home base, like Brother Jeremiah said Sunday, come to home base and be free. You would have refuge that law wouldn't be applicable. They wouldn't kill you. You could be in a home base that if your heart was pure, you could be safe. And you wonder why we tell you to get to the house. It's the prescription for everything. When you're out there messing up, get to the house. That's why we can say, I don't care what you've been doing. Get to the house. This is my place of refuge. It's your place of refuge. It's our place of refuge. It's the only place of refuge. It's the only place you're going to get grace. That's what Joshua created. It didn't exist with Moses. Refuge didn't exist with Moses. You stole, you got your hand chopped off. You killed somebody, they chased you until they killed you. They chased you until they killed you. Not for 4 days, 5 days, 3 weeks, 6 months. Until they killed you. That was the law. But when Joshua came around, he was so much higher. That law wasn't even in the picture. And anyway, let's get some scriptures to back these things up, because I was looking at that and I thought, my God, Joshua, just talking about that story, I thought, how could you not know about Joshua? So let's go on here for carrying out the promises, because see, because Moses commanded the people and instructed them to lead them to the promised land, but Joshua fulfilled that. And I talked about how even Brother Branham, he was instructed to get us to the promised land. He was instructed to take us into that eighth day. He just didn't live long enough for everybody to wake up to it. Right. Brother Branham saw the eighth day. Amen. He broke into that. Yes. But now we Amen. Have broken into that. Amen. Oh. Amen. And even going over here and talking about Rahab, because that's where that token got applied. This is what I love about that. When Joshua sent his spies over there, so that we know the story of Rahab. Joshua had just been appointed to take over from Moses. Right. So he's over Kadesh Barnea, Jordan River, about to go marching over. And all the people start hearing about Joshua, all the other kings. And they're like, we do not want to deal with Israel. These people got a leader on their hands, and the living God is behind everything they do. Everywhere they put their foot, they claim it as theirs, and nobody can do anything about it. God literally fights for Israel. He fights for them. when you're in the middle of a battle, you think about these tornadoes. Tornadoes, hailstorms come on the enemy while they're fighting Israel. God is fighting for Israel. All these other kingdoms are like, we don't want anything to do with them. If we can just stay away from them, there's water between us. There's this. As long as we're away from them, they can't get to us. But Joshua had been commanded to take over. So water wasn't going to be in a way. Water wasn't going to be a problem. He sent his spies over there, or Rahab was, and they're doing their thing. But Joshua had already told the people. See, he didn't wait till the spies to come back to tell him if he could take over. See, Moses sent his spies and then asked what they said and then went forward. Joshua had already told the people, told the generals, we're leaving in a few days. We're going to be going off and we're going to be taking over. We're going to leave our women and children back and we're going to go take the land that is promised to us. And then we'll bring our kids into it to show them the fruits of our labor. We're headed over there.
Amen.
That's what Joshua did.
Amen.
So when his spies came back, they came back and said, we just want to let you know, they are still afraid of us.
Amen.
And oh, by the way, this one lady was good to us.
Right.
Now, Joshua had already been instructed to tear down and destroy everything. So that promise was going to kind of go against what God had already told him to do. Did that stop him? Did he say, guys, you shouldn't have told her that. God already told me to take down the walls. We're going to head over there and march. I didn't want to tell you guys the plan, but we're going to march around a couple times. Then we're going to yell out and everything's supposed to fall. He didn't say that. He said, okay. Sounds good. When we get there, God will take care of that too. He'll honor that promise too. That same faith,
amen,
that same God is not only in me, it's now in you. The same power that I have, the same God that I serve, the same commitment that he has to me is in you. He'll honor that faith just like he's honoring mine. Oh, so now you've got a group of people. So not only were they afraid of Joshua, now the entire congregation has the power of Joshua, has the conviction of Joshua, has the belief of Joshua. See, the problem with Moses is he was surrounded by unbelievers. He was surrounded by people that didn't believe like him, that doubted, that was afraid. But Joshua was surrounded by believers. They knew that the same God that took care of Joshua was going to take care of them.
Amen.
This congregation, oh, I saw the Spirit moving in Brother Childers. That was good. I saw all the miracles that Brother Branham did. That was great. But when the power is now in me,
Amen.
Devil, stand aside. I don't have to wait for somebody else to pray. I don't have to wait for Brother Branham to show up. I don't have to wait for the ministry to show up. I've got the same God. I've got the same faith. I've got the same convictions. I've got the same word that I can put on that situation. Oh, see, that's powerful. You've got a group of people. And see, that's why I can't even throw in these quotes. Because even Brother Branham, when he said it, that quote said, what are you going to do when you get that group, Joshua's group? That's that Joshua group. Because when they came back from that story dealing with Rahab, they came back. Joshua said, okay, it's time to go, boys. Let's go. Time to march out. You guys going to do this? And so Joshua knew how to move the ark. David didn't know how to move the ark. David didn't consult God. Joshua did. Joshua consulted God on everything. He knew exactly how to move the ark. He knew how many steps people need to be in front of it. He knew what they needed to be wearing. He knew that the priest had to go in front of them. He had it all lined up. When they went to go walk across, the water didn't even part. See, this is what happens when you're dealing with believers. See, when Moses went across, it had to part before they stepped on it. They didn't want to step in the mud. They didn't want to step over a rock. They didn't want to step over a limb. They had to walk across totally dry. That's what Moses' group had to do. Joshua's group, he told those priests, you go across. The water didn't move. Matter of fact, it was the highest it was going to be. It was harvest time. The water had come in. It was the highest it was supposed to be. He told those priests, you go forward. We'll be behind you doing exactly how God instructed us. The water didn't part until the last priest's foot was in the water.
Amen.
Stay with me.
Amen.
That means, because it was 12 back. You got 11 forward going underwater. Y'all ever been to the beach? Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. I ain't got to paint this picture even if you don't know how to swim. If you know how to swim, you see the beach, you see somebody walking in, there's a drop-off point. In any large body of water, there is a drop-off point. Don't make the Jordan River 6 feet deep all the way across. That's not the case. There's a drop-off point. I don't care how tall those priests were, there's a drop-off point. You go so far, and then now you're underwater. And they still kept walking. They didn't stop and go, Joshua, are you sure? Are you sure? You're Joshua. Yeah. Kept walking.
Amen.
Kept walking. Kept walking by faith. The same God that Joshua serves is the God that I serve. The same God that delivered us from the first Red Sea will deliver me from this one. The same God that did all those other miracles will take care of me tonight. The same God that told me to put the blood over the door that saved my life is the same God that told me to walk across this. And they just kept on walking. Different groups. Different groups. Different levels of faith. Oh, and it's not that the message was different. No, same message. Same God. Same faith. Same promises. All they were doing was fulfilling the promise that had already been said. That's even like in the book of Revelations. He didn't tell you to prophesy some new something. He said, prophesy again. Tell them what I already told you. Woo! See how this thing runs? See how this thing ties? This thing is just a knot. Oh, if you don't know the combination, you're confused. You don't even know how important Joshua is. You skip right over it. Moses, and then you just go on. Judges, and these. Skip it, but it's important. Oh, my. God honored that promise. I want to talk about this real quick. Because I love the fact that Joshua had already planned to go across before he heard back from the spies. That's a beautiful point. And here's the thing. They came back in chapter 2. Joshua didn't even head over there till chapter 6. But he had already planned it in chapter 1. He had already said we're going. Rahab's stories happen in chapter 2. They come back. Joshua's like, hey, in 10 days we're going here. We're going to do this, do that. The nations, they were so afraid of Joshua's group. They didn't even want to fight them. So afraid that they didn't even want to fight them. You know, you can put the devil in that kind of situation. Don't let that be just in Joshua's day. Jesus knew his place and his position. Satan could entertain it for a little bit. But when Jesus woke up to who he was and was like, you know what, I'm tired of playing with you. Satan was like, you're right. Back off. Sorry, bub. I'll go fight somebody else. I'll go torment somebody else. Matter of fact, when Jesus got so fed up, the demon said, could you bid us to go somewhere else? Would you allow us to leave you alone? Have mercy. That's what the demon said. When there was a group of people that was, they were beating up people. And they were just, the demons had got on them and ravaged them so much. They were beating up and almost killing people. The demons got them so bad. And then the priest was trying to do something those demons beat them up to. And Jesus was, matter of fact, it got to the point where the demons were talking back. They said, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? They're ready to do some damage. Those same demons, when Jesus was like, listen, you got to go inside of these pigs. And it got so much tormented those animals' minds, they just jumped off the cliff. That's the power you have. That's the authority you have. That the demons are afraid of you when you recognize your position. When you start speaking out the word, they have no place. They're begging for mercy. That's biblical. We're not making this stuff up. These Old Testament saints are just shadows. Shadows of what you are. You're the real. When you look at a shadow, it's the darkest representation of what it is. It's vague. You don't see the colors. You don't know. In a shadow, you don't know if somebody has brown eyes or blue eyes. In a shadow, you don't know if somebody's got a shirt on or they don't have a shirt on. You can't tell any of those things. The details you don't get from a shadow. We're looking at the shadow type of even Joshua. We don't even get some of the details of what it took to even march across that. But guess what? I got the real tonight. I got the real where somebody says, I heard the tornado sirens. And I'm praising God that he didn't touch me. That when I prayed and said, skip over my house, it had no choice than skip over my house. That when it was going on and happening, I could speak to the winds and tell them to go this way or go that way. And they were obligated to move. That I can come here tonight with a testimony and say, thank God for protecting me. And then you take it even a step further, like Brother Seth did. He said, thank God for protecting my family, but I wanted church tonight. So I wanted those winds to move them. Not even, I don't want the tornado to even go across town. Take it to another city if you need to. But don't let it even disrupt my service tonight. I want to go to church and the walls be standing. I want to go to church and the lights come on. I want to go to church and the roof is still there. That's how much I believe it. And you speak it, and here we are enjoying it. That's the real details of the moments. Now, when we get over there and they say, how'd you do it? Oh, we can give them snapshots of the story that, yes, the winds were howling. Yes, the wind would blow, but it was still well with my soul no matter what was going on. How'd you make it when your family walked away? It's always been well with my soul. How'd you make it when your friends walked away? It was well with my soul. How'd you make it even when your mind was going away? It is still well with my soul. The same God of Moses, the same God of Joshua, the same God of Branham is the same God I serve. That's who got me through. That's why I'll be able to sing Amazing Grace. That's why I'll be able to say, to God be the glory. Oh, it's not in this that any man should boast. Oh, my, my, my. The God we serve is a good God. He's a just God. He takes care of us. Oh, we just speak the word and call for it. He said, wherever you step your foot, whatever you say, said, just don't be strayed by going to the left or to the right. Stay right there in the middle. Amen. Praise God, we're right here in the middle. Amen. Praise God, we serve a God that keeps us right there in the middle. Even if your spirit gets so exalted that you don't think you need correction, praise God, you got a God that keeps you right there in the middle. Oh, you go, well, if I live bad enough and I'm still going to make it. Praise God, you got a God that keeps you right back in the middle. Oh, it don't matter what I do. If you know God, he'll take care of you. Praise God, you got a God that keeps you right back in the middle. Oh, I need to read 1,100 message books. I need to read all the Bible. And until I memorize it, I won't come back to church. Praise God. He says, if those books even confuse you, put them down. Praise God, you got somebody that keeps you right back in the middle. Oh, we serve a good God. Oh, my goodness, we serve a good God. I'm going to read a quote. Let's read this quote. I love what God is doing. I got to go through my pictures because I got Addie, Riley, and Daisy here now. But I had scriptures in here. You got to find them real quick. It's all right. I had to remind me. I'm at work and things are going crazy. I'm like, just hold on. Just a little bit longer. I'll look at it and sing that song. Praise God for him. Here we go. Let's get to this quote here. This is letting off the pressure. This is Brother Branham. Paragraph 64 and 65. This is him talking about that refuge that Joshua built. I wanted to add a quote to that and make sure I wasn't just throwing random things out there. He said, now in the Old Testament, when a man had did something wrong, and maybe he slew a man, or he did something wrong, then that man had he slayed, his friends would hunt this man till they found him and slay him too. Because the Old Testament was tooth for tooth, eye for an eye. But Joshua built some places called House of Refuge. And these places, there's one of them at Ram Gilda. I think there's four places from Dan to Bershadia. And there were places of refuge where if a man did wrong and didn't want to, let me get this pulled up here. Yeah, scroll down. I love this. You can see everything right here. It's so fast. You can go anywhere. He said, and there were places of refuge where if a man did wrong and didn't want to do it, he could come to the city gates of one of those refuges and plead his case and tell them that he didn't mean to do this evil. Ask for forgiveness. And then he could come into this city and be safe from his enemy. Where's those people that accuse you? You come in here and you're safe. No accusers in here. You're safe. You know you would have to carry that in here? Because the deacons have a job to do. Now, even Brother Branham, I was reading over in Church Order and Doctrine. Church Order and Doctrine? Church Conduct and Doctrine. Yeah, Conduct Order and Doctrine. That's a big red book. They beat people with that one. He's talking about the roles of the deacons, how important it is to have that policeman. He wasn't saying they're nice people. Brother Branham was like, hey, if he basically said if a shooting happened in a church, the deacon's fault. They should have got that person at the door. He said, he's been watching that spirit so much, they should have got him at the door. So for you to carry something in here, you had to sneak it in. You got to get it past the deacons. So if you got an attitude, you had to sneak it in here. You got to lie. You got to disguise your face in such a way to get past those policemen, to get past that metal detector that's trying to get you to drop all that baggage, to get you ready for the service, to get you ready for this G-force that we're going to get you ready for so we can get out of here. You're going to try to hold on to that. And what they're doing is trying to protect you. Because guess what? When this pressure gets going, you don't want to have nothing in your pocket. You don't want to be holding on to nothing. Because it's going to start pushing on you. It's going to start pushing on you. And it's going to start pushing on you. Because if I start talking about that you need to do a little bit better, and you're holding on to something, guess what? It's going to start pushing on you. It's going to start pushing. You should drop it. I'm telling you should drop it before the ride starts. You should drop it before the ride starts. Because once it gets going, it's going to start pushing on you. Start pushing on you. And it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. Everybody else is going to be on the ride like, praise God. This feels good. I'm free. Oh, I can't wait to fly. And you're like, well, I'm still holding on to this. If they would just. You're holding on to it. You got an attitude with your brother or your sister? Guess what? They're probably going to be the one to get up and sing. They're going to get up and sing. And the church is going to be turned on. They're going to be excited. And you're going to be mad. It's going to be hurting you. You're going to be like, ooh, Riley knows she shouldn't be singing tonight. Ah, she didn't clean her room. She didn't do them dishes. Right? You holding on to it. That's just a little Riley, right? What if it was Skylar? Skylar owed you $15. Skylar get up here and lead song service. And you get up here to say your little 2 cents. And he goes, nah, cutting you off. Let's turn it over to the preaching. Whole church is excited. We're all excited. We're like, yeah, turn it off, Skylar. We're ready to hear the word. Everybody but you. You're sitting there like, ooh, I knew. He owed me that $15. And he ain't going to let me get up there. He just don't want to hear what I'm about to say. Because he knows I'm about to say something about him. That's you holding on to stuff. I'm just giving you a little example. I've been in church for a long time. I done sat there a long time. I've sat beside people that are holding on to stuff. And you know what they normally do? They try to diffuse it. They start playing with the phone a little bit, trying not to pay attention. Because it's hurting. And then they're just trying to get it off. They just don't want to pay attention. Then they got to go to the bathroom 4 or 5 times. Then all of a sudden, they're just pinching the kids a little bit. Like, come on, I'll get you in the back. Let me in. It's back here. Get you in the broom. And then you know what they do? Ooh, them speakers are kind of loud. Still hurting. And turn it down a little bit. My baby needs some sleep. Then turn it off. I'm just telling you. This is what happened. I ain't lying to you. I'm telling you, 30 years experience. I've seen it happen. I've seen people walk back with quiet babies. And I'm like, uh-oh. Ain't nothing wrong with that baby. That baby's enjoying service. That baby having a good time. What are you dumping off for when they say submit to your husband? What you going back for when they say you have no God but the God at your house? What you running from? You just telling yourself? Amen. You know, the brother children say, you know, or even Brother Bram might even say, he threw a rock in a pack of dogs. Then one of the yelps. That's who got hit. Everybody else sitting here saying, praise him. Submit to my husband, yes. Husbands, love your wife, yes. And you're saying, there's more to the Bible than just that scripture. That's what they say. I'm telling you. Oh, you can't read another book? Can't go somewhere else? Not until you get over it. I'm like Brother Chose. I'm going to keep rubbing it on you until you get over it. I want that surface smooth. And if I ever think it's coming back, I'm going to get that sandpaper right back on there. I want it smooth. I want you to never have a remembrance of it. That's what God does when he throws in his sin for forgetfulness. He doesn't bring it up again. It's gone. And we can't let it go. It's the only thing we remember. But praise God, you got a Joshua group here tonight that's built to fly. Brother Jeremiah was talking about that. We're built to fly. You know, birds got to have certain bones to even fly. But everything God does, it just confounds man. They can't understand. Like, they don't know how a bee flies. They don't know how an eagle can go up so high. You know, if you go up so high, you can't see if you're not built for it. We're talking about the crows and all those kind of things. That happens even to a person. If you go up and you're not ready for it, you can't see. You get tunnel vision. You black out. You're not built for it. You got to have certain things built for it. You got to be born for this. You can't get up in space and then acquire the ability to breathe without oxygen. It's got to happen at birth. Yeah, that's why a believer can say, I can outlast you. I was born for this. I was built for this very purpose. I'm ready to accept the full word of God. I got shoulders for this. I got the temperament for this. I was born into a family that made me ready for this. Oh, my. My DNA is such that when you see me, you see the Father. Oh, you see those kids that are spitting images? And I like to say my daughter is a spitting image of me. She couldn't hide it if she wanted to. I don't care what kind of way she did her hair. I don't care what glasses she bought. He's like, that's Jay's baby. No matter what she would be wearing. That's a girl version of you, my man. That DNA is so strong in there. Look just like her daddy. Talk like him, look like him, act like him. I talk and look just like my daddy. When the word comes across, I don't want nothing but the word. When preachers come sometimes, they go, oh, I'm sorry to make it hot. Nope, turn it up. Right when you think it's hot, that's where I wanted you to start. Because that's the only way you're going to get rid of the spirits anyway. You can't clean dishes in cold water. I need you to turn it up. I came in here with some baggage that needs to get removed. I got to deal with a boss. I got to deal with workers. I got to deal with this. I got to deal with traffic. Get that off of me so I can receive the word of God. Turn the temperature up a little bit. I want it hotter. Oh, my. I want it as hot as you can get it. Whatever temperature you're going to make it, start there. And then I'll help you heat it. I'll throw some wood on the fire to keep it going up. That's how this is. Oh, because what I don't want, I don't want a preacher thinking, yeah, you got to bring it lukewarm. Nope. I don't want lukewarm. Even the Bible says, I'd rather you be cold or hot. See, I got scripture to back up what I'm saying. I don't just haphazardly throw stuff out there. I'm letting you know that even God says, I'd rather you be cold or hot. Don't be lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. If you want to believe the word, believe it. But if you don't, just go the other direction. Just be a denomination. Don't be a Methodist denomination. Those are the worst ones. Oh, because they think they're good. And they got just enough word to kill themselves. But I praise God we get the truth here. We get exactly what God brings us here. And that's all we want. That's all we want. We don't want any ideas. We don't want any dogmas. I don't want any traditions or what you think it might be. Tell me what God said it is. Amen. Tell me what God said it is. If God didn't reveal it to you, talk about something that he's already revealed to you. I don't mind. If your testimony is the same till you get a new one, keep saying it. Because at least that you can back up. When you start trying to get out on those limbs and try to sound like somebody else, it's trouble. Amen. Trouble. I only saw it a couple of times. Pastor Moore saw it way more than I did. But you see these ministers, and they would hear Brother Childers, and then they would try to repeat him. Train wreck. Train wreck. You would think if you were going to repeat somebody, you at least take some better notes. Right? Like you'd be like, whoa, what do you say here? What do you say there? They had everything out of order, mislocate, misappropriate, add to, taken away. It was like, did you even hear what he said? That's nothing what he believes. That's why we've been trained under the best. Pastor Moore would come in and he'd say, you know what? Brother Childers is going some huge depths. But I got this one thing that God spoke to me on. I'm going to break this down to you. I'll share that. If he shared it for 5 minutes, praise God. 20 minutes, praise God. 3 hours like he does now, praise God. Right. Hey, gals, it's good to have you back home, Pastor Moore. It's good to have you back. Gals, but praise God for just sharing what God gave you. Now you know what we don't have to do? Take it back. We don't have to take it back. I was even having lunch with Pastor Moore today, and I said, you know, praise God that we were able to talk about that scripture. I mean, not even scripture, but the quote that Brother Parnell said. He said, you know, talking about the ages, where he said, you know, that ego age is the one that eats meat. And he's the one that said that. And it's like, we still believe that because that was truth. Right? We don't got to take back truth. I hold on to truth the whole time. If it was right, it's always going to be right. You don't got to remember truth. Lies is what you got to remember. I praise God that we got the truth. You can drop me anywhere, and I got the truth. And if I don't have a revelation on it, guess what? God didn't give it to me. I'll still preach the truth on what I have. Why? Because it's my job to share with you my knowledge of the mystery. Not Jeremiah's knowledge of the mystery. Not Pastor Moore's knowledge of the mystery. Not Don Deskin's knowledge of the mystery. My knowledge of the mystery is what I'm obligated to share with you. In that sense, that's why testimony should be easy. Because it's just what you saw. Don't try to tell me what my mom knows. Don't try to tell me what Elise knows. You don't know that. You don't know what they know. Just tell me what you know. That's it. Just your part of the story. If all you saw in an accident was that the light was green when the accident happened, that's the only thing you should share. If you can't remember anything about the colors of the cars, all you know is you was looking up, you saw green, and then you heard some noise. That's all you should share. Don't say, I think it was a blue Prius. Well, man, we're looking at the pictures. There's no Prius. Guess what now your testimony is? Thrown out. All of it. Even the part that you saw the green light. Even the truth gets thrown out when you start throwing them lies in there. So just tell your truth and shut up. Right? Like, that's how I got to tell it to myself. Just say what you know and then stop talking. Don't try to expound on it. Don't try to flower it up. Don't try to add quotes that you don't know won't run. Because guess what? If I read paragraph 66 of 65 and it don't run, you messed it up. That's what happens sometimes. People come in with quotes and it don't run. You just take a portion of it and go, here's the last part of that sentence that Brother Branham said, and this is a doctrine now. False. Read the whole book. Read it all. Read before that. Read after that. Read the whole book. Read it in context. Don't take a sentence out because it's got to run. Because that was the prophet of the hour. You can't tell me he was messing up all the time. Now, we know Brother Branham had a progressive ministry. That means it got better as it went on. It shouldn't have got messed up as it got on. Shouldn't have got to 65 and still confused. We should know what it is by then. Oh, my. I love a God that does this. Just keeps things simple. Now, I'm going to read this and I'm going to get out of here. Because that story of Joshua was great. Like, he's got different, lots of great parts of there. It's a good book to read in general. But what I love about it is, as it transcends, because we started off in the beginning talking about what Joshua and Caleb did. Those young spies serving God in their youth. And Joshua lived to be like 115, 110 years old. Anybody with him there? But he's in his 80s and 90s. That's when him and Caleb got to that promised land. His old man. What did they do, though? See, we know this. What did Caleb say? When they was like, hey, we're here now. That's your mountain. There's some people on there. We're going to fight them all. Did Caleb go, man, I'm a little too old for this now. I served God from my youth. Been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm tired. That's not what he said. He said, give me my mountain. I am more than able. I'm more than able to take it. To fulfill the promises that God gave me? Give me my mountain. I don't care if I got to stay on this earth for another 100 years. When I see that rapture approaching, give me my mountain. I don't care. I'm not tied to the time. I don't care how. I know it's going to be short at any time. But I'm not going to take. I'm not tired. I want my mountain. I want what God already promised me. I've seen too much to turn back now. By that time, Caleb had already seen the waters part several times. He had seen the sun stand still and the moon stand still. He had seen the sun stand still for Moses. He had seen the battles happen. He had seen the ark carried. He had seen kingdoms crumble. He had seen all this. You know what the Bible says? It would be a sin to disbelieve now. To get all the way to this point where the ages have been fulfilled. The messengers have been sent. The foundation has been laid. The statue of the perfect man is standing before you tonight. To get to this point and disbelieve would be a sin. That's why the Bible says that this bride is ordained not to fall. We've got too much word on our side. We've been born for this. Talking about born to fly, I can't do anything but fly out of here. That's all I can do. That's all I can do. I'm not even built to walk. I'm not. Eagle's not built to run. No. It's two steps and I'm up. Two steps, and I'm up. And then I'm up. And then I'm up, and then you can't see me anymore. That's it. Oh, I might fall down. Give me two steps, and I'm up. And then I'm up. And then I'm up. That's how your life should be. That's how it should be as a believer in this hour with the word that we get. You shouldn't be down. You're not built to be down. It's uncomfortable because you shouldn't be there. You're not even made to crawl around. You're not made to slither around on this earth. You're made to fly. You're built to fly. You were born to fly. Oh, my, my, my. And every time we come into church, God is just helping you to spread those wings a little bit more. It's getting you a little bit stronger. A little bit stronger so that way you can go above the clouds. I don't even want you to fly into the storm. I want you to fly above the storm. Like Brother Steve said, use that as leverage. When that wind is going, use that as leverage to get above it. That's what we're doing in this hour. We're going above those things. Oh, my, my, my. That's why we can even say that we're so high that the law is not even in the printer. Because it's not. And see, what the church world will have you do is, well, the law doesn't exist. I didn't say that. I said, I'm so high, it's not in the picture. I love God so much, it's not in the picture. You don't have to force me to do something. It comes out of me because I love it. I love it. You see that mother's love? You don't got to force her to wake up from kids. She loves that baby. She loves that baby. Oh, is it hard? Maybe. But will she do it? Yes.
Yeah.
With love, smiling, holding, can't wait. Like, this is what I prayed for. This is the vindication of the promises that God gave me. I made this. God made this for me. Oh, come on. Man, we get so many blessings, you forget what you prayed for.
That's right.
Oh, Lord, give me this job. Give me the job. Give me the job. You get the job. Lord, give me a different boss. Lord, give me a different job. Really? You forget all those prayers? You know, Pastor Moore used to remind me, because sometimes I'd be talking like that. He said, I want you to have that same energy that you had before you got the job. That at the interview processes, what would you do? Everything. What do you need me to do? Clean toilets? I'll do that. You want me to be the janitor? I'll do that. You want me to be the sales rep? I'll do that. You want me to be the manager? I'll do that. I don't have no money. I'm broke. I'll take any job you got. Then you get the job, and now you're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to clean the toilets. I'm too good to be the janitor. I need to be not more than the sales manager. I should be the director. And I can't be just the director. I should be the regional manager here. And I really should just run the place. That's what happens. That's your flesh. It's okay. That's why you got to get this house. So we can help you. Remind you. Stir up your mind to your pure remembrance on what you're really here to do. Work that job as unto the Lord and come back and do your real job. Get this word out. That's my real job. That's a job I don't get tired of. That's a job I can't wait to do. All that other stuff just makes way for this. I get some money so I can put it into this. I get my little tokens I can put back into this. Because I want my real job is to get the message out. Oh, I get a little bit of travel bonuses and I'm perfect. Now I can go take this message out. I can get a free flight. I can go to see my brother in Rosado in San Diego. I can talk to my brother June on the phone because I got free nights and weekends on my phone. Right? See how this should work together? That's why you should have those things. Oh, my, my, my. God has just been blessing us. But I thank God that we got something that's relieving that pressure. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Joshua relieving that pressure right now because God has just been blessing us and blessing us and blessing us. Because we're a different group. This is a group full of believers. There was a group of full of unbelievers, but this is a group full of believers. The things that we do should be more. It should be greater works. Because we all believe. And when you got a group of people that all believe, like Brother Branham said, then the rapture can go. Then the rapture can go. And that's what we're in right now. The rapture's going right now. We're on our way up. Oh, and I even love how even, this is what I love about it. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Moore. I even love that Joshua and Caleb were on the scene before Moses left. That's perfect. God didn't have to raise up a rock. They had already been there. They already had established residency, so to speak. They had established that they believed God. They had got to see all that through their youth. And that's why I look at these sisters that are singing. I see these young kids. That's fine. I'm like, that's great. You're going to build off of that. That's what you're going to build off of. If you wait till you're 25, 26, come in here and think you're too embarrassed now. You know too much. You're covering yourself with fig leaves now. You really are. You're thinking, oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't really sing good. Who told you that? Who told you? Did you get up in front of the body and we say, don't do it no more? Don't worry about it. Stop. This is not for you. Some people have a gift. Yours is a curse. Sit down. Did anybody do that to you? Or did they get up and help you? They get up and sing with you. Does the piano change the key and go, you know what? They normally in A, but since you're singing in G, let's move it to G. Do they put the words up because you can't remember the chorus and they put it up there for you? Do we help you out? That's what happens.
So why are you halt between two opinions? If God be God, then just serve him. See, that's what Joshua saw. He saw that God was real, and he just served him with his whole heart. I thank God that this is a group of believers here tonight that just serve God with their whole heart. God bless you.
Releasing that pressure. You know, when you really get it like it should be gotten, it's not even really pressure. I mean, when a man loves a woman and he marries her, and he's got to do all these things for that house, and she's got to do all these things for that husband, and, you know, they turn around twice, and it's been 10 years, turn around twice, it's been 20, and everybody else looking and say, how did you do it? So it wasn't work. It wasn't work. You know, I was thinking about when he was talking, I said, now let me think about this. I have worked, when I come to this message, I left school and I went to Shopsmith and I worked there for 15 years or something. Left there, went to Miami Valley, worked there for 13 years or something. Left there, went to Springfield eventually and worked there for five. I thought, I had all those jobs and I got them and left them and got them and left them. I said, but the only thing that was consistent is this word. Amen. This is my life. Amen. Those other things are not my life. We think these jobs are our life. These jobs are not your life. This is the only thing that will last and never get old and get sweeter as the day go by. Amen. And you want more every time you get around it. Amen. Nothing else. And I love the story of Joshua, because Joshua will show you how to serve God. Amen. Joshua never gave Moses an ounce of problem. What do you mean put blood over the door? Do you know how nasty that is? Didn't question him. What do you mean you're going to speak flies? Those are nasty. What do you mean frogs? What do you mean? He never, every time Moses opened his mouth, Joshua was standing right behind his shoulders saying, get him. That's the truth. Never gave Moses a moment's problem. So much so that when it came down to it and Moses had to leave the scene, God said, you know what? You've been faithful in the little things. Now I'm going to let you have the whole children of Israel. To take them into to promise. He took them somewhere Moses couldn't even go. We're going where Brother Branham couldn't even go. Brother Branham wanted to go into rapture, but he didn't live long enough. Moses wanted to go into promised land, but he didn't live long enough. Well, we're here. We're living long enough. You say, well, what if he doesn't come for another 50 years? Then the children will be here. Somebody will be here. You know, the people always say Moses never made it to the promised land. That's a lie. Mount Transfiguration, Moses was standing right up there with Elijah, standing in his land. And so he got to the promised land. He just didn't go the way people thought it was going to be. People thought Brother Brown was going to be here. That's why they tried to get him to come back. Well, he must have forgot to tell us something. No, he told us everything he was supposed to tell us. We have everything that we needed from the prophet. It's on our hands now. Now the pressure's on us to do what we need to do. Now the thing is for us to give up the world. To realize that those are just temporary jobs. Your school is temporary. Your neighborhood is temporary. Your house is temporary. Only thing that's permanent is this revelation that you're getting when you come to the house of God. That's why I tell you to run to the city of refuge. People do the opposite. It burns me up. They do the opposite. Where they're supposed to run to the city when they get in trouble, they run the other way. And if you're not in the city, you're guilty of sin. And the devil's got you. But as long, listen to the way the rules worked in the city of refuge. As long as you stayed, you don't just go and tag it like you're playing it. You got to actually move in. You got to make it your life. Not just a touch here and a touch there. And, oh, I want the world here and I want church here. And now I'm going to serve God here. Oh, no, this is good. But I'm, no, you, to be in the city of refuge, you have to move in and remain for the rest of your life. Because I've seen a lot of people come into this city and they say, well, that old devil, he ain't out there now. It looks like I could go. I could go out in the world. I could hang out with my worldly friends and I could have some church friends. And I come here on Sunday and Wednesday and, you know, Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. I can go out there, out of the city, and it doesn't hurt me to hang out with my old worldly friends, and it doesn't bother me. And you go out that city of refuge, and next thing you know, you ain't even thinking about it. You forget what day it is. Is today Wednesday? What cracks me up as a believer is today Sunday? Is today Wednesday? You know, I live my life according to those 2 days. I don't have to I don't have to be reminded it's Wednesday. I build my life around it. I don't have to be reminded, oh, don't forget, Sunday. I was out of town this last Sunday, and I look around and see, that's what I do. Is when I'm out, when I'm not around on church day, on Sunday, and I'm out there where the rest of the world is, I look around and say, so this is what they do. I don't know, because I'm in church on Sundays and they're out there jogging, they're exercising and doing all their little things and taking care of their car. And I'm like, my goodness, they just built their life around the world. But, you know, like I said, I'm sitting there thinking, my job is not these places that's hiring me. My job is to fulfill the word of God. That's the most important thing to me. That is my life. And because it's my life, nothing else matters. So when I come in the door, and you know how you do at the airport, you got to put your hands up. I let the deacon scan me. I let them scan me when I come through the door. Because I don't want nothing smacking me in the face. I don't want no spirits on me. You know, you come in here with your spirits, and you try to put your spirits on us. Everybody in here knows the spirit when they see it. You're not dealing with people who don't know spirits. When you got a spirit on you, everybody in there is like, hmm. And then you're going to try to act like you don't have it. And the deacons already saw you coming in. And everybody else is like, hmm. Sit up here with your attitude. Don't have nothing good to say. Then if you say something like I really appreciated Jerry Bryan's message on it. It was beautiful. But I didn't like the message afterward. And I told him that. I said, that was out of place. You don't just come and try to put your thinking over or your, you know, that's not what we're here for. And nobody in this church is stupid. When I'm not being edified, I know it. I don't question me. I'm like, So when your deacons are meeting you at the door, you better shake their hand. Smile at them. Let them scan you. Because you need those spirits off I've seen those things. Jim, remember we were painting at the base? What did it call? Centrifuge. We were painting over there, and we were painting where the centrifuges were, and my goodness, those things move. And if you try to pick your cute little metal, wear your little cute little medal into that centrifuge, or you got your good little stuff on you trying to look all cute or whatever. Take that in there if you want. You're going to be eating it. Because when that thing gets moving, their skin literally falls back. That's the way we are when we're in church. We're like, the word comes hot and heavy here, and everybody is in here for themselves. And I don't have time to worry about your issues.
And you don't have time to worry about my issues. It's me, oh Lord, standing in need of prayer. When that word comes forth, we're all in there for ourselves. But this is getting us ready, like Jay said, for a flight out of here. We don't have time to play. This ain't the place to play. This is life and death. And we're grown here. We're not like the old church days where we were wilt, you know, we get rebuked, we get wilty, you know. No, if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're not edifying, you're not edifying. You'd be the last one to know because everybody else already know it. You feed me a bad piece of meat and I'm sitting there trying to eat it. You know, I'm like, man, this ain't good. And that's the way it is. So you, when you come before God with humility. Amen. Come before God being humble, knowing that, Lord, it's by your grace that I'm here. And if I can't edify the body, I want the body to edify me until I can edify, because you will edify the body. There's no way God's going to call you and you not edify the body. So you come until you get enough. But you got to stay in the city. Stay in here. Don't get out of the city refuge. Because you cannot win out there. And Joshua knew that. And Joshua knew Moses. And when Moses come off that mountain with those Ten Commandments, Joshua was like, ooh, we're in trouble now. So then after he turned it over to Joshua got into the land. Now Moses needed the law to get them to the land. He didn't have time to tell them, go your own way and, you know, go wherever you want. No. You know, when Moses had it, they had to follow his footsteps. Everywhere Moses went, they had to step. That's the law. That's what the law did. It put them in line. When Joshua got a hold of it, Joshua got them in the land and said, you know what? Go. This is the land. Go wherever you want. He took that law and just said, it's your land. We get in here. This is your land. Brother Branham said the word is your land. Yes. And you can go anywhere in that Bible you want. And you can look any, but you know what? Stay in the land. God only blessed Israel in their land. If you're not in the land, you won't be blessed. But if you're in here with Joshua, Joshua's giving you everything you need. Everything you need to be prosperous. Enjoy that, Brother Jay. That's very good. Now, I was sitting in my chair this morning, and I thought about Brother June Pardillo. And I thought, I'm just going to message him and just say, hey, how'd your trip to India go? Just crossed my mind this morning. He calls me. He said, I just got home today. He said, and he told me, he said he was there for 18 days, two meetings a day, nonstop while he was there. He said, I am so tired. He said, I don't know. He said, God gave me the strength to do the job, but he did the job. So he told me that the brothers over there, the church is over there, they're wanting him back. I know he wants me to go with him, but yeah, he said that he wanted to get home first and rest up. But, you know, he had a wonderful trip. And we were praying for him while it was gone. And he said he talked to them on the changing of the soul. They didn't know nothing about it. It shows you how blessed you are. They were so enthused about him preaching that. And finally got an understanding. Said, out of all of the years that these brothers been coming from the Philippines and different places, we never understood it till now. Isn't that amazing? So it shows you that what you have, we have enough to give life. Yes. We do. We have the answers. We know what it is. And there's people who have never heard a quarter of what you sit and you feast on every week. So God bless Brother June for going. And pray he gets a good rest. But I told him, I said, I'm going to tell the church. He said, why are you listening? So he may be tuning in. He may be listening tonight. He was excited. He said, I was so excited about the trip. He said, I had to give you a call. So I appreciated the call from him. And he is a real friend. Amen. We do have some friends out there somewhere. One or two.
And so it's good that he made it back safely. It's just funny that it happened just today. He just come across my mind, and I just got home. Just, and I thought, well, perfect timing. But it's good. Now, remember I told you about my friend Doug from 36 years ago? 46, thanks, Jim. He's a numbers man. Well, we were supposed to go deep sea fishing, and it got canceled, and things just didn't happen the way we wanted to, and we were grumbling, weren't we, Jim, with the car and trying to find a charter. We were not very happy, and so it turned out I needed to, Jim said, well, we'll just walk on Cocoa Beach, and then because we were going to meet up with his brother. Well, we started walking, and it's down there. I could see the NASA shuttle. They had a rocket ready to launch that day, and I told Jim, I said, I think Doug's somewhere near here. So Jim said, well, call him up, text him, and we'll go. If we have to drive an hour, we'll go see him. I texted him. I said, are you in? He said, I'm in Cocoa Beach. Where are you? He texted me back, said, are you serious? He says, I'm in Publix in Cocoa Beach, about 5 minutes from you. Hadn't seen him in 46 years and got to spend time. So it was good to be able to reunite. And we had a good time together. And it's good that, it's good to have a good report with them, because some people don't want to see you after 46 years. But it was great to see him and meet his wife. And, Lord really blessed. And he told me, he said, I knew you were going to have something to do with the church. I was a little mad about that. I'm a little salty about it. But it's like, well, amen. But God knows you. And there's something about you that pulled you to God. And even when you tried to fit out in the world, you were different. And so don't fight it. Go ahead and just give in. This is your job, not that. Amen. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you'll be. And those decisions that you make in your life and those turns will go right along with the Word of God. And you'll find yourself manifesting the Word of God without even trying. That's what we do. Now, pray for Praveen. He should be coming home. I don't think it's this Saturday, but I think it's next week. So pray for his trip home. He wanted to go see his family, and that's good for him, and I'm glad he had a chance. I when I took him to the airport, I thought, man, I wish I had thought it through. I could have gone over there with him and spent a little time with him. He would have loved it, and his parents would have loved it, but I didn't think about it until I was on the way to the airport, and then I was mad at myself. But God knows, but... pray for him. He'll be headed back this way. I appreciate all the help. When you're not here, I can see there's a lot of work that has to happen to make all this stuff work, the mics, the this, the that, and I appreciate all everybody that's kicking in and doing the job, because people around the world are dependent on us. They're dependent on us. And what they're depending on is that we get this pure word out. That's it. That's what they're depending. So they need us to be that example, need us to be on our toes and watch out and do our job. This is our job. Amen. That's why God's got you here in Fairborn. He could have put you in the Philippines. He could have put you in India. He could have put you in Africa. He could have put you in England. He could have put you in anywhere. But he's got you here because you have a role to play in getting the greatest message out to the world. And that's a big responsibility. So I thank you for all your help and support, and keep up the good work, and we'll get this job done, because we're ordained to get out of here. We're made for the job. We're made for the pressure. We can take it. Isaiah said, well, I was going to whine. We do. We whine. But you know what? As soon as that word starts getting in front of you, you're like, what was I thinking? Because it's just in us to do this. That's who we are. So God bless you. Let's sing something and we're going to get out of here. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yes. You want to testify, Elise? Go ahead. Well, you're working back there.
I take this word very seriously, and it's funny because I was Jeremiah. He went to the Joshua tree and he brought me home some seeds. And this little, it's a tiny little thing. I put the seeds in there. They gave me a little dirt, and they sprouted. Because it's a Joshua tree, you know?
Right.
Yes, it's not the big Joshua tree because it doesn't have the right soil, you know? But there's life in there. And
there
I was
is.
Thinking, thank God that he planted me here where I can grow tall and strong, you know? But that Joshua tree is still a Joshua tree, even if it's this big, you know? And I was thinking, I don't want to go too long without testifying,
mm-mm.
right? Because that's what I can do for this church. You
that's
know?
How you grow.
That's what I can do.
Yeah.
That's what I grow, you know? It's my water or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, I want people out there to know who Elise is. You know, like
right.
like the, I don't remember the story in the Bible. He's like, I know Jesus and I know, who right. are you? He knows me.
Amen.
I'm Elise. That's who I am. And I want people to know who I am. I want to be a part of this. I want my salt to be important to
right.
this message and this word. You know, and I was just thinking, I'm so grateful for this. And I see my children. You know, it's just, it's such a blessing, everything we have here, because that's just like a natural. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? But there's such a, a rest and knowing where we're going.
Yes.
And like Seth says, every day I wake up, is it time? No? Okay, I got something more to do. I just, I love this place so much. I want to be a part of it.
That's
you
it.
Know, I yeah. dedicated. I want to mm-hmm. be so dedicated. I take this thing so seriously. It is my life. I say
yes.
that every time. And you know, this whole message, and it just tickled me so much. Talking about an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
And like, okay, there's work to do. But there's nothing I can do not to be an eagle.
That's right.
I was born an eagle.
Born
and
to
no
fly.
Matter what happens, when you molt and you're on the ground,
you're still an eagle.
I'm still an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm right. when I fall down or whatever, I'm still an eagle.
Mm-hmm.
I still get back up. There is nothing that can put me down, you know?
Mm-mm.
The devil's so far out of the picture. It's such a beautiful rest because life happens. It's hard. Being a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you know, I forget sometimes how hard it is,
mm-hmm.
but my girls are going through it and I'm like, ooh, that's tough. You know, and this world is, it's a disgusting, horrible place.
Yes, it is.
And these
Satan's
kids
eating.
Are so mean. They're mean for no reason. It
mm-hmm.
just, I don't understand it, but it's so beautiful that my children have this place
mm-hmm.
that
yes.
they can come and they can rest,
right.
you know,
yeah.
and they have friends who pick them up when they fall down. And it, me and Jeremiah, we talk about this all the time, we're so blessed. You know, just to surround yourself with such a beautiful thing. And I don't know, I just wanted to get up. I didn't want to go another service. I don't like to go too far
Amen.
Between testifying. Because
Amen.
I tell my kids all the time, you get it out, then you get more in.
That's
you
it.
You know, all day long we testify to each other. It's what we do. I can't help it. I open my mouth and God comes out. You know, I can't help it. But I just wanted to say how much I love this place, how grateful I am. I always want to be thankful for what God has done for me. I think about this amazing being that's so big you can't even see it, like the stars and everything, you can see so much of space and it still doesn't encompass all of God.
Mm-mm.
Chose me,
right?
And it just touches me, so I'm gonna take that so seriously that I'm gonna do whatever I can to get help the word, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If it's back there and you talk about helping people listening and stuff, I take that seriously. I was
mm-hmm.
so serious today about making sure that the volume worked. Because
mm-hmm.
Pastor Moore said something about volume. I was like, I will not be responsible for that again. You know, that was my fault. But thank God that he has grace and mercy.
He does. This
Amen.
Is what our job is.
Beautiful.
This is our job. And you say, well, I don't like this job. Then go get another job. But this is what God has called us to do. So we want to do it with all us in us, all of our heart. Wonderful, wonderful. Jesus is to me. He's my counselor. He's my Prince of Peace. The Almighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. The thing about a molting eagle is he will get back up. A molting eagle is not the end of the eagle. It's just a little short space of time where he's getting new feathers where he can fly higher and be better off. Amen. Come back Sunday expecting. Key of G. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. He's my counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God.